Well, it was a good morning this morning. I didn't get any sleep last night. I was up all night long. I mean, just all night. And then a little after 4 o'clock this morning, the Lord kept me awake. I just started praying. I just was praying. It was the first church I ever went to the preaching besides ours, and the Lord just wanted me to get my heart right. I need to get my heart right. I need to be right before I stepped behind that pulpit, you know. And I was willing to do it. I mean, hurt. You know, most people back out, call in, say, can't do it. I was up all night, and I just told the Lord, I'm willing. If I'm going to do this, I'm just going to jump in and go all out with it. I can sleep later. I can lay down on the couch later. But, you know, when you're going to wait. For the last week, he's woke me up 2 or 3 times in the middle of the night. Just praying for people or whatever else. And thank God I did. Because there was a kid. He's not a kid, 20s anyway. I had no clue who was in the service. Didn't know anybody. But it ended up being, at the end of preaching, there was a guy there who just got out of prison. And he came running. I mean, just about knocking people over. He's a big guy, you know. 6 foot something, big old. He come running up. And he said, I need help. He goes, I want something different. He goes, you got a phone number, anything. Hey, I said, yeah, I got it all, man. He goes, it's hard being out here. I said, I know, man. I grabbed him, I hugged him. I'm hugging this young kid like this. I know where you're at, man. I understand that. I said, I'll be here for us as long as there's a dying breath in me. I said, you call me and I'll go running, because I've come willing. God saved me from what that boy's going through. He saved me from that stuff. I understand where he's at. I understand how he feels. He goes, I have a newborn baby, and his fiance was there. He goes, I don't want this anymore. I said, well, as long as I'm breathing, you can call me. I'll come out here. I'll do whatever is necessary. He goes, I want to get out to your church. I just have to okay with my parole officer. I said, give him my phone number. Give him my pastor's phone number. I gave him your phone number. I said, you got to give that to your parole officer to come to our church. That's fine. Go ahead. I don't mind doing that. And the first time he ever walked in church was today.
Amen.
How's that? And the Lord put me back there behind that pulpit. And I just gave a little bit of testimony. He understood that I understood where he's at. And he knew that. And we thought we were going to be late here. And, you know, I thank God. I didn't know Amy texted. The pastor said, Dale's dealing with this kid. We'll be a little late. But I'm glad she did that. If it would have been that, I would have missed 1 o'clock. Pastor can get up here and preach. He don't need to, you know, he can just get in the Bible and get in there anyway. He don't need any kind of warning of how I'm going to be here or not. He could just get up here and preach. If it would have been that, I would stay there. But then there was the second one too. His name was Anthony. He's probably 18 years old. Just looked at me and said, man, you got anything I can get a hold of you? I said, yep, here you go. So here's my phone number. Here's my website. I said, get a hold of me. And then I call them the hippie group. There's probably 6 or 7 people that look like old hippies. And they're like, you got a card or anything? I mean, just be asking. I wasn't prepared for it. I went there not knowing anything, and then, I was able to hand out cards and that, and just told me, hey, you need to get a hold of me, here it is. And God is good. And the older people liked it. They had a good time. We had a good time in the Lord. The kids had a good time. It was a good morning. Thank God he made me willing to go ahead and stick my neck out there like that.
Yeah.
You know, thank God he made me willing just to, through all what I go through, the pains and life and all the struggles me and Amy go through, that I'm still willing. Still willing. I mean, I go through some hard times and I still get out here and do what the Lord would have me to do.
Amen.
He's training me to do that. And right now I don't see why he's training me to do it, but there's a reason. And, you know, Pastor Randall drive truck all night, come back and teach Sunday, teach college and do service and everything else with no sleep. Sometimes that's what it takes for a man of God to be trained up. And, whatever the Lord sees fit and he gives me the strength, and I'll just go out there and do it, because it's got to be in his strength or it's never going to work. I got on my face this morning. I said, Lord, if you're not going to step behind that pulpit,
And let's not even go to Hornell.
Don't put me back there. I'll ruin somebody's life. I don't want to be back there. You got to help me. You got to give me the words. I told Amy, sometimes I don't even know where these words come from. I was going to preach on one thing this morning. I ended up going somewhere else with it, didn't it? I tried fighting. Oh, go back to this. No, the Lord didn't want that, man. I had to change right there. I mean, just had to be sensitive. Because I really wanted to preach this thing, you know, on what Bible salvation is and all that. I started getting into it and bang, it just went off. To me giving my testimony and went off to a changed life and what Jesus can do for people. And so not knowing that that kid and that other kid were sitting here lost, didn't know what to do. You know, just that's where the Lord brought it, man. I had to be sensitive to that. And I think he blessed. We'll see. That's on him. You know, I was trying to be as obedient as I could. You know, and I do want to say, the Lord gave me a thought. I put it on paper. I'm going to read it real quick. It says, shame on churches. Shame on us and the way we treat each other. Watching churches and watching the way we treat each other is something that should not be. Churches have gotten way too comfortable with their pride and bitterness towards each other and have been blinded to the love and forgiveness towards one another. Then people blow out of churches, move from one to another, and the saying goes on, and it's just time to stop it. It's time to do what God says, love one another, live at peace with one another. God will not keep putting up with musical churches. They will have no power with God or have the ability to bring the lost in because they cannot even love each other. They will not be able to love a stranger. Buckle down, pray for one another, forgive, get rid of bitterness, and allow God to build a church that's pleasing to him. Remember, it's about him, not us. God and the world are watching. It's time to stop running and start serving. Serving is putting up with one another. I think churches have lost that, man. They've lost that being able to put up with each other. Just people gotta, if we can't love each other, how are we gonna love the one out there that God wants you to go talk to or whatever? We just have to we're human beings, we make mistakes, we mess up, but we just have to forgive one another. But who is willing to do that? Churches have lost that. You know what? Here's why I say it. Over and over again, I hear it and I see it. Where the world, the lost people, are saying, I don't want that. I get the same thing I hear. Why would I want to go in that church when you're doing the same thing as I am?
Come on.
That's what they're thinking of us. God wants us to love each other. Wants us to put up with each other. Why? So they out in the world can long for that, want that, desire that. I mean, thank God, God's been teaching me the Bible, and I know that I have to put up with stuff, we need to put up with stuff and so on. But I'm just saying, if a new person stepped in and really started getting a hold of, getting in some churches, eventually they're going to say, why would I want that? Why do I want that? That's what Christian brothers and sisters do to each other. I can go out here and do it to the drug addict, the pimp, and the hoe. They do it to each other all day long. We got to start doing things a little different towards each other. It's hard. It's not. But you know what? God didn't put a stipulation on when he said love one another, did he? He didn't say love one another if or this or that. He did not say that. He said you will love one another. Bonk. That's it. Honor thy mother and thy father. There's no stipulations on that. You're just going to honor them. Same with loving each other. I just want to hammer away with that for about 10 more seconds. Same with loving one another. God did not put a stipulation on how we are to love one another. He just says, do it.
Amen.
Do it. If more people would start doing it, we'd be a lot better for church. And I'm not talking about just church. Is this my water?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, buddy. All day long, my throat's been dry. But I just, you know what? For Christ's sake, for Jesus' sake, he went on that cross. Just met what he put up with us. And we can't put up with each other. For those of us who are saved in here, you're washed in the blood, right? You're Jesus Christ. Guess what? Then we're treating each other the way he would never treat us. We don't belong. The Bible says clearly that our body is not ours anymore. And yet we go out there and treat our body, our brothers and sisters, any old way we want to. There's going to be a price to pay. Is your life falling apart? How are you treating your brother and sister? Things not going right. Your prayer's not being heard. You don't want to read. You don't want to study. Finances falling apart. How are you treating your brother and sister? That's important to God. He put it in the Bible a lot of times. Quite a few times. But I'm going to get off of that. We're going to go on willingness. Second, I hope I'm going to finish this one. God is looking for those who have a willingness to know Him and to serve Him. We're going to start in 1 Chronicles 28:9. 1 Chronicles 20. You know, man, people talk the talk. But what? Walking the walk. Do you know that part of serving God is serving each other, loving each other, putting up with each other? That's part of loving God. God is love. Love your brothers. If you say you love your brother, if you say you're in the light and hate your brother, you are not saved. The Bible tells you that clearly. God didn't save you to go ahead and hold things against your brothers and sisters or your family members either. But 1 Chronicles 28:9, have a willingness to know Him and serve Him. First, it says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands the imaginations and thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever." Here we see the Bible is talking to Solomon and what he is to do. He is to be willing to know the God of thy father and to serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. We see in the last text that children of Israel were willing, have a willing heart. Now we see God wants a willing mind as well. Romans 12 says He wants us to have willing bodies. God is not asking for half willingness, but full willingness. Body, mind, and heart. He wants it all. All. Well, my heart is set on this, but your mind and your body are doing other things. I preached kind of like that on Friday at the teen Bible study. We have these sins and idols in our heart, and they're festering in there. Now we come up with this idea in our heart. We say, well, brain and body, let's get involved in it. Then we just drag everything in the whole mess. God knows our heart. He knows it's wicked. But do you have a willingness in you to say, Lord, you know my heart. You know what's in it. I'm going to tell you that I want to serve you, but inside, you know I really don't. Because I'm not ready to go through what you want me to go through. So please, give me a willingness. You know, God doesn't ask us to give things up that we can't handle. He asks us to be willing to give those things up. Many people are not willing to let go of what is in their heart, in their mind, in their body, in their soul. They're just not willing to give it up. Pastor said it so well. And I get reminded of it once in a while, where we just don't want to open that door that God's trying to get into. We want to keep it closed. We don't want, you can go everywhere you want, God, but not there. Not there. Not there. Not there. He wants a willingness. He wants you to be willing. It wasn't a hard... It took a while for God to crack my nut. Why? Because I would not open that one door. And then one day, I just said, Lord, I'm willing. Got in the Bible, started reading it, studying. And lo and behold, eventually I got saved. Because I became willing. Listen, my wife can attest to this. She's the only one that has ever lived with me in the past 7 years. And I'm talking hours upon hours. I mean, just frustrations and tears and everything you could ever think of. But salvation came my only priority, did it not? Just that's what it was. And I mean, I got in that word. I got in there praying and reading. I said, I can't. I'm not living like this anymore. It's got to go. It's time to get saved. Lord, help me. Help me to see what door is not open anymore. Help me to see where I'm keeping out of you. Help me to see why I'm not willing to be this and that. And you know, eventually he just started chiseling away at that thing. Dang, dang, dang. And guess what happened? October 10th, 2011, 9.5 East Main Street. I got saved. I got saved. I got saved. Okay, I got saved. I got changed. I became willing. Now he says, Dale, now we got you here. Are you willing to go and do what I say? Well, not all the time. Really? Tuesday night. Tuesday night. I said, hey. I said, Amy had a bad day. I'm going to stay home with her. Huge mistake. Big. I put my family before the ministry. I'm just telling you what, Wednesday was the worst day just about of my entire life. It really was just everything that could go wrong, went wrong. I mean, just, it was miserable, miserable. And you know what? God said, Dale, she was fine. She was fine. She was okay. I made sure my wife was okay. And God respected me, made sure she was okay. But I should have not missed the ministry. I gave up the ministry. That was really my excuse just to stay home, being lazy. I tell you, when I woke up Wednesday morning, I wish it would have never happened. Well, you know that. It was a bad day. I said, well, he came over to talk to me. And he said something. I said, yep, Pastor, God already dealt with me on that. He goes, oh, okay. And that was it, because God dealt with me on what I did. Who
in here is really willing to put your family below God?
Come on.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I just did Tuesday. I put my family above God, and I tell you what, I about got killed.
Really, I mean, I just went through it, man. I mean, just, it was a miserable, horrible. I mean, I can't explain the detail. I can't explain the darkness and what I went through that day, because it was just a horrible, horrible thing for putting something before God. He doesn't like that. There's a point, listen, when you become saved, there's a point in your life where God says, you cannot do that anymore. Now, some of you guys can get away with whatever, but there's certain people in certain lives when God takes every person and He moves them right along. There will come a time in each and every one of us' life when God says, you cannot do that anymore. No longer are you allowed to do that anymore. You're going to be different. And He does those things. And no longer am I allowed to just say, you know what? I don't want the ministry. I'm going to stay home and put my feet up and relax tonight. And why? Because I opened my mouth and said, Lord, I want you. I want to go wherever you want me to, wherever you want to send me. Okay? Let's do it, big boy. As God is my witness, I mean, I just could explain to you of what I go through on a daily basis, just the pain alone. My body is absolutely 100% wore out, exhausted. I do not sleep. I get very, very little sleep, but yet I'm willing to get up and go wherever the Lord wants me to. Half eyes open, can't barely speak and everything. Because I opened my mouth a few months ago and said, Lord, I'll do what you want me to. And now He's holding me up to my word. You go ahead and get serious with God, and He'll hold you to your word. You better believe it. Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to pay that price? Not many people we see anymore are willing to pay that price. There's a price to pay to serve the Lord. I've come to see churches and ministries that people are very willing to talk the talk, but not walk the walk. Why? Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart also. Their heart is not in it. Their heart is occupied and full of other things and not the things of God. Where's your heart? Your life shows where your heart's at. I just want you to know that. People say they think they're hiding this and they're hiding that. I'm just going to let you know now. Your heart shows what you're doing. Your heart shows what your mind's really about. Your heart shows your whole lifestyle. You're not hiding it from anybody. Especially if maybe somebody might have the wool pulled over their eyes. But I'm going to tell you one person you're not slipping that over. That's God. Yeah, He knows your heart. He knows what's in it. Go ahead, smile at somebody, shake their hand, and inside you want to bite their head off. God sees that.
Come on.
I'm just telling you, man. I'm just telling you, God has cracked my skull open here in the last few months of me doing that. I don't have it perfect. I still have a problem with people, but I tell you what, I'm more apt not to because, listen, you can't go out there in the ministry. You can't go out there and try to deal with people and not be able to put up with people. That's just all there is to it. You just can't do it. And so what's the best way to do it? You can't send a soldier out there. He's never been through any training.
Right.
Train him. Train him. So that's what I've been going through, training. Starting right from McDonald's right on down. I always used to tell you guys before I even left McDonald's that McDonald's was totally different than just a job for me. It taught me how to deal with people. I got spit on, hamburgers thrown at me, and everything else. I never, 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 never hit anybody, beat anybody up, or went to jail over. I learned how to deal with it. How's that?
Amen.
Just saying. Does that make me Superman? Oh, no, because I wouldn't want to go through it. I don't wish it on my worst enemy. But be careful when you open your mouth saying you want to serve God. You will go through training. You got to go through training. He's got to take what you are, get that out of the way so He can step in and make you what He wants you to be. People miss that. People are missing that anymore these days. They don't get what 2 Corinthians 5:17 really has behind it. They're missing it. They're missing the whole thing. They think that when you get saved, you just stay the same old person. You can't do it. And I'm not saying He calls everybody out to the ministry and this and that, but your ministry could be sitting in this pew praying for people. That could be your ministry. But you know what? He don't want a half-hearted person who's praying. He wants someone who knows how to pray, who get on their knees, lay on their face, and get a hold of God. That's what kind of prayer person He wants. That's what He wants. Matthew 12:34 says, here's some proof of where the people's heart is. Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaketh. Oh, excuse me, let me not change that. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's coming out of your mouth. That's what you are in your heart. Pastor, I mean, you sum it up perfectly. What you are in secret is what you really are, and that's in your heart. That person you're being when nobody can see you, that's who you really are. Yeah, go ahead and swallow that for a little bit. I'm just telling you now, who you are in secret, that's who you really are. Out in public and in church and all that, that's not who you are. We all know how to put fronts on. Go ahead and get along with God. Let him know, God, you're right, this is who I really am, let's get this right. Because he already knows that. He's trying to get you to see that. Do you think I haven't been there? How do I know to tell you about it then? I've been there. I'm still there. I still have things that I do and see. I go, oh boy. Well, we missed Wednesday night because we were out there at Olean talking to the teens. Tanya came over and told us about what Pastor Haynes talked about. Me and Amy just looked at each other and said, another confirmation of something that me and her are dealing with in our life. And we just looked at each other like, it can't get no more confirmed than that. So now what do we do with it? Do we just put it on the back burner or do we deal with it? Well, it's time to work at it. Time to get it done. Lord, I have a lot of stuff that I could do at home. This beautiful, perfect tractor that I really need to keep my road fixed. That, you know, my road's bad. How we come in the drive? It's bad. And, I could get this tractor and I'd be able to keep the lawn right. I'd be able to keep everything plowed, and I'd be able to keep my road fixed and all that, just to be a perfect tractor. And the money's just right. My brother, he looked it up and said, man, you're getting it for a steal and this and that. And the Lord said, oh yeah? You think so? That was something he put there to see what I would do. What choice would I make? I sat my wife down the other day and said, Amy, I almost fell for the trap. I almost got into it. I said, that tractor, I'm not getting that tractor. The guy, he got a hold of me. I said, I'm not getting it. I said, not now. I said, me and my wife have other finances that we need to get right before I go and buy a tractor. Because I had made a promise to the Lord that I won't do any financial decisions without him. I won't make any financial decisions that's going to hurt my family. And I had to back out of that. But imagine if I didn't see that. Imagine if I wasn't sensitive to what God was trying to tell me and I didn't see that. Thank God he was merciful and showed me that. Thank God. Thank God. Yeah, I serve a God. Like, I don't know what kind of God you're serving, but I do. Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. That's right. Jesus is talking to the religious people who sound good, but don't have the willingness to serve the Lord the way he teaches. Religious people and people alike have the same heart and mind, unwillingness to do what the Lord asks for. They don't have a willingness to serve the Lord because their heart and their mind is full of their own ways and the ways of the world and their own works. They live willingly, but in their heart, they live willingly, but what's in their heart and in their lives is something totally different. Let me just read that verse again. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. If evil's coming out of your mouth, if evil's coming out of your life, that's what's in your heart. That's who you are. That's what you are. So go ahead and just get over with it and deal with it. Don't run from it. I was just telling the people over there in Hornell, I said, man, when God's trying to show you something, don't run from it. It's time to man up or woman up and just face it. That's who you are. Don't fight it. God's not going to give up. He's relentless. He's just not going to give up showing you what. He wants you to. He needs you to see what you are. Just that one little thing, man, that's a life changer. He needs you to see it. Amen. He's not going to give up. Why? Because he wants you. It's not his will that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Who? All. There's no stipulation on his all either. He wants that, but you know what? People don't want to see it anymore. No, I'm a good person. No, I'm not that. Listen, the Bible says if you're doing evil things and saying evil things, then evil's in your heart. If you're a saved person and you have that stuff, then you need to get it right. I told the people there this morning, two things are going to happen to that type of person. Number one, God's going to bring you to repentance, get that stuff out of your life. And number two, he's going to take you off this earth. A saved person isn't going to live 60, 70 years a life full of sin. God says there's two ways this thing's going to happen. You're going to either repent or die. I hear people all the time, well, you know, I lived 35 years. I got saved and I lived 35 years of doing whatever I wanted to. Sorry, you missed it. God does not allow, he's not going to allow you to live like that. Something's going to happen to you. Something's going to happen to you. Why? He's not going to leave you stringing along like that. I mean, could you just imagine I get saved and I go out there and just live my life any old way I want? Listen, these Bibles have gotten people living their life a different way because the Bible, our Bible, God, he calls us to live a holy and righteous life. A holy and righteous life. These Bibles aren't preaching that kind of stuff. These Christians out there who call themselves Christians, they're not preaching that kind of lifestyle. Go out there and live any way you want and call yourself a Christian. And when you open your eyes and you're in the flames of hell, don't blame God. You chose to live that way. This Bible here calls us to live holy. Calls us to have it. He says, be ye holy for I am holy. What's that telling you to do then? Can we do it in the flesh? No, we cannot. But we have Jesus Christ living in us. If you're a saved person, it will happen. He'll make you holy. He will make you holy. He. You're going to live righteous. You're going to have differences in your life. You're going to have something happen to you. Something happened to this guy. I don't know. Something happened to me. Something changed my mind. Something changed my heart. My lifestyle changed, man. Something happened to me. It was a miracle. That's what happened to me. Jesus Christ came inside me. It happened. Now I'm willing to live the way he wants me to live. Is it easy? No, because I go against the flesh every 10 seconds. Maybe less. The flesh. Man, that's a whole other subject. God is looking for some who are willing to jump into this thing with pastors and elders and men of God. All coming together to work for his purpose. Let's see this example in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 21 says, behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for every manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. God wants a willingness, whether it is for work days, to help win souls, prayer, meeting, organizing, repairs, maintenance, and other church responsibilities. God wants us to be willing to do whatever he asks us to do. That means keeping this church clean, cleaning their toilets, praying for each other. I mean, VBS it, whatever it is, God has called us to do this. He wants willing people. And not the same people over and over again. When work day comes, it doesn't mean just the men show up. We need some women to come in and help too. There's other duties that women can do in this church. God just didn't call the men to come here and do all the dusting and the mopping and all that. We have outside duties that we have to do. There's inside duties that the women can do. And we can work this thing together as a body to keep this thing clean. That's what he wants. A willingness. Why don't churches have to pull hair to get anybody to do anything anymore? It's becoming a struggle, all churches, including this one, just to get people to really do anything anymore. We need to get together, put the pride away. Listen, well, I don't have time. Then let's make time. We need to make time. Pastor always used to tell me, Dale, you'll never find time for God. You have to make time. Well, then let's make time for God. Let's make time for him. Let's get this thing done. Not one person can't do it alone all the time. One person can't be the brain behind it. God did not make it that way. He did not intend for just one person to think of everything and to get everything in motion. He intended us to work as a body together and be willing to do this thing. Be willing to do this thing. He calls us a body. We should act that way. We don't. It should not rest solely on the pastor and the elders and others that are in authority. 2 Corinthians 8:11 says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, and not according to what he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and you be burdened. God doesn't want one person to have the whole burden and everybody else is at ease. We are all to be burdened together. This church house, this is our church house. It's where we come worship the Lord. It's where we come learn. We come here to preach. It's not should be one person's burden. It should be all of our burden that's sitting in here.
Right.
All of our burden to come in here. All of our burden to make sure everything's running right. All of our burden to worry about our finances. All the, I mean, yes, the elders and trustees are put in place to make the final decisions, but it should be a burden. We should be careful on turning on heaters, on watching how things might get broke. And so we all should have a burden for this house. There should be a burden how we watch our children. I'm talking about mine too, and not just yours, mine. We should watch how our children act in this house and make sure they're not breaking stuff and climbing on stuff they shouldn't. There should be a burden for us, a willingness to keep this place the way He would have it. As, I mean, the Bible says decency and order. There's times I come in here, I look at where my pew's at, and I go, what a shame for me and my family to have my pew looking like that. I make my kids clean. It shouldn't even be that way in the first place. But now we got a visitor that comes in, and let's say they sit in our pew, and it's a mess. That's not what God wanted. You know, why can't we, before we leave, just pick up our pew? Make sure our pew, you know. I mean, if you see one, I forgot who it was. Jerry Feister that one day. On the way out the door, picking up a piece of paper, and everybody's just standing around it. She's the one who bends down and picks it up. I was guilty. I watched her do it. I should have picked it up myself. But I'm just saying, that little bit, just something that little. Who's willing to do it anymore? We're not even willing to bend down to pick up a piece of paper. We're not going to do anything else around here. That might be too much. God has called us to be willing. Willing. What are you willing to do? But by an equality. This is 2 Corinthians 8:14. But by an equality. That now at this time your abundance may supply for their want. And their abundance may also supply for your want, that there may be equality. It's equal. Equal. Equal amongst each other. We should be equal out there making sure this is done right. You know, a pastor's got a big responsibility. He should not have to take all the burdens himself. Brother Jim, that man, I mean, he comes up with the ideas, he comes up with plans, writing stuff down that he should not be the only one burdened with that. We have young men in here that can do work. We have younger guys that can come in and help Jim do that, and that's how it should be. Do we always do it? No, I'm guilty. I don't. Half-hearted, but you know what? The Lord got on me about being half-hearted towards Jim and the things that he wants to do and get done. And physically, as much as I can do, I'm going to do. I'm just going to do it. Whatever I can do, I'm going to do. Because it's not, God wants us all to be willing. He wants us all to get in this thing. Not just one or two people. That's not how God intended this thing to be. God wants us to be willing to ease and carry the burdens of each other. That no one is more burdened with things than others are. Equality, Paul, as he says it here, we have. Equality, that we can have equal in everything that we do. So equalness, instead of always one person carrying that burden on their back all the time. That's a hard place to be. When you're the only one that has a burden for something. Jim has a burden for this building, to make it look like it should be. For many more years to come, why? For Caleb, Joshua, Autumn, Luke, the Montgomery kids, the all. Now imagine, we're all not going to be here one day, and we have all of our children sitting in this church, and it's crumbling and falling apart. That's what Jim wants to avoid. Nothing bad. Why not keep it going for the next generation? Who knows how many people are going to be sitting in these pews? We should keep it going for them. A willingness to think about our children and their children and the generations to come. If Jesus doesn't come quickly, Lord, come quickly. If He doesn't come quickly. But I'm just saying, you know, a willingness. Where'd all that willingness to everybody's helping hands and wanting to get in there with each other? You know why nobody wants to do it? Number one, everybody's afraid to have a boss. Jim, you could be my boss or my friend. I know people that haven't been impressed because I could be your friend, but you could also be my boss and will not offend me one bit if you yell at me. I've learned how to be that way. But nobody wants to listen to anybody. Number two, if I got something to get you, I'm not going to come work with you. Get over yourself. Seriously. That's your brother, or that's your sister, or whatever the issue may be. Get over yourself. Come together and get this thing right. That's what's in my heart, man. This is what burdens me all the time, is seeing this stuff. If you guys have seen my Facebook post and all that stuff, I'm burdened because I see all these so-called Christians, my brothers and sisters, just nailing each other and just railing all the time on each other. And just no love and no unity. It's like a war between each other. A war. If I wanted a war, I would have stayed out in the games. I would have stayed out in the streets doing stuff I did. That's war. War. Nobody can forgive anything anymore. Everybody's holding on to bitterness and angerness toward each other. Come on. You know one of the best things Pastor ever told me? If something, somebody or something's bothering you, just go and tell them. Open up and just tell them. Don't even hold it in. You know what? I do that now. And I'm not talking in a bad way. I'll go up to somebody and say, listen, I don't want to be this because of this. I don't want to be in between for you because I just don't want the burden of being, you know, having my brother. Sometimes me and him, I talk, Dan, listen, I don't want to want you to ever think that I'm turning my back on you for this person or this person, but I need to keep my doors open because I'm in the ministry now. I can't close my doors on people because you don't get along with them and such. That's the type of person I tell. That's what I tell everybody, everything now. I don't hold anything in. Why? It releases me. It helps me. Then I don't hold bitterness against anybody. I'll tell you, I was guilty. Well, you know what I was guilty of? Holding bitterness towards my mother. Lord dealt with me on that the other day. Slowly, just little things that I didn't talk to her about. Listen, all of a sudden it just came, boom, and it just blew up, and I realized, oh my gosh, bitterness towards my mother. God has forgiven me on all that stuff, and I let it back in my life. Yes, people, I fall just like a normal person because I am a normal person. Here's the thing, I'm trying to be sensitive to what God is telling me. I'm trying to get this thing right. I want to live this thing right. I'm not up here. This is not a joke to me. This thing is real. This is serious. I take this serious with every breath I take. I live this life at home too, just in case you didn't know that. Come videotape me. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I want this thing. I love, I desire. I got on my face. I mean, literally, it's hard for me to get on the floor. I got down there last night. I said, Lord, I want nothing more but to be a Christian the rest of my life. I want to make you happy. That's who I'm not here to make anybody here smile, cry, wink, be my friend, anything like that. I am not here. I love you guys, and you know that, but I'm not here for that. I want him to be happy with me. That's what I want. I don't want nothing in between me and him anymore. So tired of living that life. Just so tired of having to be burdened with it because I'm an idiot. Am I always going to be an idiot till the day I die? But here's, I want to strive not to be anymore. Oh, just to have God take his hand off of my life, man, it's a scary place. I start recognizing it quicker and quicker now. I just don't want him to take his hand off of my life. I don't want him to say, hey, you want some? You want some? No, I don't want, no. Keep that man. Keep that thing. Get it away from me. I don't want it. Please don't turn me over to myself. Don't even give me a little taste of it. I don't even want any more of it. Ain't worth it. Just ain't worth it. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you. We have deacons and elders. We have a pastor in this church who rules over you. If you can't get over that, then you need to go get, tell God to get that pride out of your life. I don't see anybody abusing their power in this church. But if something needs to be done, then it needs to be done. It needs to be done. Not a big deal. I don't see anybody treats anybody poorly in here. I don't see pastor walking up and slapping people around and grabbing them up by the shirt. You got to do it. I don't ever see that. That just doesn't happen. Submit to those who have rule over you. For they watch over your souls. If they're not watching, after salvation, he's still watching over our souls. He still has to make sure we're growing and doing the right things. But guess what? Our children here, now guess what? He's watching over their souls. Huh? And those who are adults who aren't saved, he's still watching over your soul. That's what God appointed him to be. But we're willing. Who's willing to stand behind his back? He said one time, they said they were going to kick him out. Or if you ever kick me out, he goes, I'll stand out there and I'll preach in the parking lot and have more people. How many of you are willing? How many would you be willing to stand behind him for these people accusing him and telling him all this crazy stuff and you know it's not true? Are you going to stand behind his back? Are you going to pray for him? Are you going to help him and his family? Are you going to be there for him? So many people are so quick to turn their back on their pastor and don't even know the whole truth. We got to stop with our pastors, man. He's not just a fly-by-night. He prays to God he could just die here in Black Creek, man. You know what? We don't have preachers and pastors like that anymore. They're gone. Every two, three, 10, 15 years, one church to the next, to the next to the next. We have one that wants to stay here, love us, and teach us, teach our children, possibly our grandchildren, and so on and so forth. What a blessing. What a blessing to have that. Why shouldn't we be willing? Be willing. I may be a trustee in this church, but let me just tell you this. I'm under the authority of Jim and all my elders, older people, pastor. I'm nothing just because I have a name. Trustee means nothing to me. These guys I have to look up to. These guys I learn from. These guys I respect. These guys show me the way. My wife was just telling me the same thing. Hey, she goes, you know how I learned how to do things in church? By watching Miss Ruth Ann and other ladies of God. That's how she learns. How to act in church as a woman. I know how to act in church as a man. I watch my pastors and deacons and elders. That's how I watch. How are my kids going to watch doing the same thing? That's important. Everybody's so afraid of who has power over who. It's an important thing that we teach our children to respect our elders and deacons and pastors and pastors' wives and all that stuff. That's all important stuff. And to help them out there in the world. Sometimes the way I ask Luke to do something, he starts getting huffy and puffy. I said, how are you ever going to hold down a job? How are you ever going to raise a family? How are you ever going to be able to do anything if you can't handle anything mom and dad tell you?
That's right.
That's all there is to it. Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. God is looking for those who are willing. Excuse me, of a willing body and mind and heart to be able to obey and listen to the instructions of the pastors and elders and whatever authority he has put in charge of the things and duties. Who is also willing to live an honest life, serving the Lord as he directs. Living a life contrary to what you say, you believe destroys the work of the church. It destroys the testimonies of Christians who are living it right and give a church a bad name. Jesus was willing to go to the cross for us. And we cannot even be willing to go and do what he wants. He was willing to go to that cross and said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He had that willingness to go. Get on that cross. For each and every one of us sitting in this room. Die for us. Save us. And now we can't even become willing to do that for him. Anything. What's that? What, simple thing. To love one another. To keep the church up. To take care of your family is the way you're supposed to read his word, to pray. These are small, simple things. You haven't even gotten to anything deep yet. You haven't even strapped them boots on yet, and you still become unwilling. Strap them boots on, man. Tell God you mean something. Tell God you want something. Don't be afraid to put them boots on and get in it. You did it to the world, might as well do it for him. The world didn't die for you. Jesus died for you, man. Strap them boots on and go. Get in that thing. My goodness, what is it going to hurt? For once in your life, be willing to do something besides something for yourself. Jesus wants you to be willing. He just wants that willingness of the heart. What a tender thing that is for God to say, you know what, I did my part. I just wanted you to be a willing. I just want you to go ahead and just give your life to me. He knows how to take care of us. We think we have it down. Yeah, we got it good. We got it good. I sat here and give you every second of my testimony. You wouldn't think I had it so well. But he knows. I have a good life now. Struggles, yes, because of my flesh. Struggles, yes, because of some physical elements. Struggles because I like to be rebellious and so on and so forth. But it's the best life I've ever had. So Randy said something to me the other day. I said, Randy, I'm 42 years old, but I just started living, brother. I just started living 2.5 years ago. I'm good. Just started living. 42 years old, I just started living. Why? Because I have a life. I have a new life. I have something that's worth something. Here's what I have that most people won't say. I have something that's worth dying for. And I can die and be okay with what I have. I'm all right. You can send me to heaven. See you later. I feel for my kids and my wife and that. And I would feel bad. But you know what? I'm okay where I'm going. I'm okay. Become willing. God is asking you to be willing in small things. Why? Because then he'll make you willing in bigger things. He's got something for each and every one of us. It ain't just a few select people he has stuff for. And it may not be this big old shame bang. It might not be a big old, you know, this and a big old that. But just the little things he gives is so much more worth than the world. But you know what? If you're not willing to give up that world, you're never going to get anywhere. You're not going to accomplish anything in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you that right now. You read the Bible over and over again. He does not like the world. He doesn't like you living like it. He doesn't like us acting like it. Why? Because they'll never see a difference. They'll never see the hope in Jesus Christ in you. Yes, he died for them. It says he died for the whole world. But don't act like that. Why? Because they will never see Jesus in you. Okay? They need to see something different in you for them. You're not going to desire something different. You're not going to desire something that is not different in you. Yesterday I put on there, I said, Baptist is not a cult. We may look like it to you because we do things differently. I said, but actually the world is the cult because they all follow the same thing. I said, we follow King James Bible. We follow Jesus Christ. But that doesn't make us a cult. You just don't understand it. But if you're not living that life as Jesus called you, then you are in the cult. You are following what they don't want what you have because it's a fake. Pastor, I'm done.